Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in Acts chapter 9. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. It's the little things in life. Those words are part and parcel to many a quip or quote. And it's interesting how people can take them quite differently. Some will argue and encourage you to focus on the little things, the details in life. Arguably the most successful college basketball coach of all time, John Wooden, once said, "It's the details that are vital. Little things make big things happen." And yet there are others who will say that we shouldn't focus on the little things. We shouldn't dwell on the small things. The ancient poet Ovid wrote, "Little things please little minds." Ouch. So whether it's focusing on or appreciating the little things, or whether it's not sweating the little things, for being so little, these little things sure come up an awful lot. Now maybe you're wondering why we would talk about little things on a big day like today. Today is a day when we will have 13 of our young people standing in front of us who will make a promise that's a big deal. It is not a little thing to say, "I intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it." That is a very big public promise to make. However, that promise wouldn't be possible without all of the little things that our Savior Jesus has done for us. And to illustrate this, we're going to look at a fascinating story about a lady named Tabitha. And it's my prayer that as we continue to see that our risen Savior is still acting, he's very active in our congregation in all of the little things, and he still is even raising the dead. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. acts of charity. What an introduction Tabitha receives. With an intro like that, you might think that she was some great philanthropist who was giving thousands of dollars away every week, or that she was some miracle worker who was curing illness and disease. But she wasn't a wealthy benefactor like Lydia. She wasn't a healer like Peter. She wasn't an apostle like Paul. No, it seems that Tabitha was quite the seamstress. She made robes and other clothing for the widows who couldn't support themselves, who depended on others for everything. To them, Tabitha was a hero, a saint. But who was Tabitha outside of that small circle of widows? Would her death have made the front page? She wasn't royalty. She wasn't a dignitary. The things that she did often went unnoticed by most, unappreciated by the masses. The things that she did were little things in the grand scheme. And isn't that sometimes how we view the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do? Those are just little things. At that time, she became sick and died. After they had washed her, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda is near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him who urged him, "Come to us without delay." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. It doesn't seem fair, does it, that God would let someone like Tabitha die like this? Luke's description of her cannot be understated. She was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. This was her lifestyle. This wasn't just something that she did when she had some time. This was her time. She was constantly in the state of doing good. Why? What kept her going? What kept her using those gifts that she had when really it was just such a small thing to do? And it often went unnoticed. What kept her going is that Jesus raised her from the dead. Now, wait a second, you might argue. Tabitha made all of those clothes before she died. Well, before she died physically, yes. But you see, Tabitha, like every other person born in the natural way, was born dead in her trespasses and sins. Even on her best day, Tabitha always remained a sinner. Tabitha never stopped being a sinner, but God made her alive in Christ by His grace. He created faith in her heart, faith that received the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for her on the cross. And through that faith, He forgave each and every one of her sins. And He made her perfect and holy in His sight. And He created in her spiritual life. Remember how Luke described her? In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Her lifestyle was the fruit of her faith. And it was that faith in action that caused the other disciples to react the way that they did. They at once sent for Peter. They urged him to come with them without delay. Why, though? Why would they go through all of that trouble? She was dead. What was Peter going to do? By himself, nothing. But these disciples knew that God could do something. They trusted in the power of the resurrection. They knew that the Spirit was with the apostles, and they knew that even in this dire distress, the place to go for help was to God. After Peter sent them all outside, he got down on his knees and prayed. Then he turned toward the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. After he called the saints and the widows, he presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. When we hear this story, we can't help but think of similar death scenes preserved for us in the Scriptures. Elisha and the Shunammite's son, the daughter of Jairus. And just like in those cases, Peter sends everyone out of the room. You would think that if Peter was going to raise Tabitha from the dead, that he would want everyone to see it. But no, he sends everyone out of the room, and the first thing he does is he gets on his knees and he prays. And while that prayer isn't recorded for us in the Scriptures, you can bet that Peter was praying to find out what God's will was for Tabitha. Was it God's will that Tabitha go to heaven to be with Jesus right at this time? Or was God using this illness and this real death as a way to display His glory, as a way to give credibility to that little thing we call the gospel? And so Peter prayed. And it's clear that God's will for Tabitha was to be raised from the dead. And so Peter very simply says, "Tabitha, get up." How ridiculous. "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Simple words. A simple phrase, and yet God used that little thing to do one of the greatest miracles. And through that little thing, it had a huge impact This became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. As we've listened to this story again about Tabitha, hasn't it struck you how interesting it is whom Jesus chose to raise from the dead? He didn't raise James after Herod had him killed. He didn't raise Peter when he was crucified. He didn't raise Paul when he was executed. He raised a seamstress that we don't hear about in any other place in the Bible except right here in Acts chapter 9. She didn't do anything particularly great. She made clothes for the poor. But that's exactly how God operates. Through the seemingly insignificant, through the ordinary, the plain, the simple little things. Just think about our regular worship services. How many miracles did you see this morning? Can't think of any? How many of you confessed your sins this morning? All of us did, right? You realize that each and every time that we confess our sins, that we are drowning our old Adam? And that each and every time that we hear God's word of forgiveness, our new man is rising up? It's a little thing. It's invisible to the eye. But it's a miracle each and every time. Think about all of the times that we've observed the Lord's Supper being celebrated. It's a little thing. It's just a small piece of bread and a swallow of wine. But each and every time, Jesus is physically present with us in that sacrament. What a miracle. And we praise God for his miracles. We praise God that he often uses such little things to bring about his greatest miracles. And we're going to see that this morning in our 10:30 service. We're going to have 13 miracles standing before us today. 13 miracles of God's grace, 13 resurrection stories, 13 faiths about to be publicly confessed. That is a miracle in and of itself. What's happening today is not a little thing, it's a big deal. However, this is not the end of the miracles. Understand that the future miracles that we're going to see in the lives of those 13 and in our lives too, they don't have to be big things. They can be simple things. They can be little things. As little as simply coming to church regularly and hearing again and again about how Jesus has raised us from the dead. It can be things like being a good student, a respectful son or daughter. Little things like being willing to pitch in and be involved in your church family and in your community. Those are little things. They can have a huge impact because people notice them. People notice those little things, and those little things can sometimes open the door to a miracle. Because those little things might give you an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. And sharing Jesus with someone gives God the opportunity to create faith in a heart where no faith existed before. Gives God the opportunity to make something that was dead alive. And I don't know about you, but saving someone's life is about as big as it gets. Is there any greater miracle? Is there any greater impact? It may not look like it to the naked eye, but our risen Savior is still acting. He's still raising the dead. May that seemingly small little thing be the focus for all of us as we strive to be like Tabitha, as we strive to always be doing good out of love for Jesus. And don't be surprised when God takes those little things to bring about his greatest miracles.